You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Thank you for joining us for today's special Veterans Day episode of 1514. We typically release our podcast every Saturday, but we wanted to acknowledge the work and effort of our men and women who have served in the United States military with a special recording for Veterans Day. My guest, Robert Kahle, is a retired Marine, and he shares with us a little bit about the importance of building and establishing a community of faith, both in the military and outside. So thank you to all of you veterans and veterans' families for the service that you have done for our country, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of 1514. It's a pleasure to have you with us. If you've been listening for a long time, we really appreciate your loyalty. Be sure to spread the word about 1514 and the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. There's no better way to get the word out and share what we do than our listeners telling their friends about it. Today, I'm back interviewing people. I appreciate you listening in on some of the classes I've been teaching recently and some of the guests I've had come to those classes, but I'm excited again to be actually talking to somebody for this podcast and excited for my guest today, who is Robert Kahle. And Robert is the aftercare manager for the Mighty Oaks Foundation. He helps oversee the ministry of caring for veterans and alumni of the Mighty Oaks legacy program, getting them connected to churches and making sure that they are as well set up for success after that program. So Robert, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Robert, in addition to what you do with the Mighty Oaks program there, or Mighty Oaks Foundation, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah. So I was just born and raised here in San Diego, California, and I lived down here in Southern California after I retired from the Marine Corps. I did 21 years active duty in the Marine Corps, and I did several combat deployments, and I'm now married. I have four kids, three are older and out of the house. And then I have one that still lives at home with me, and been working for Mighty Oaks since about 2016 timeframe when I started out as a team leader. And I went through the program 2015 as a student, and that's where I heard the gospel for the first time. And by God's grace was saved and brought into a relationship with him through Christ. And my life has kind of been on a different trajectory since that point, and been encouraged and really blessed by having good biblical men in my life from that point until now, that have really helped push me and guide me, and asked me to pray for some hard things. And one of those hard things was, you know, hey, pray about biblical counseling and see where God, you know, leads you. And I remember praying about biblical counseling. And then I remember one day I was leaving a friend's house, and he was struggling with some things. And I went over to his house. We were just talking and praying. And the things that we were talking about weren't what my ideas were for him, or what his ideas weren't, or anything from the world. It was all scripture based. It was all, you know, straight out of the Bible and only God's truth. And I remember going to the car and sitting down and saying, man, I don't need to pray anymore about this. I was just doing it. I'm not even certified or any special college degrees or anything like that. I'm just a knuckle dragging Marine. So I called back my mentor, John Fulberg, who was the aftercare manager prior to me. And I just said, yeah, hey, I'm in. What do I have to do? And then I just started doing the training for that. And now I'm in the process of finishing up my tests. I have about, 15 questions left of just, I have all the questions answered. I'm just doing a final edit, and then I'll send it off and hopefully get my hours in and get certified soon. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah, no, it's been really exciting because I've gotten to kind of follow you through that program of just seeing you get inspired and catch fire for biblical counseling and then go on to the Master's University and study there. And I'll be praying that your test passes with flying colors. You don't have too many rewrites there. So
I expect there to be some rewrites. I'm pretty sure whoever reads my test is going to be like, man, I did not know fourth graders would send tests. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's a great journey. I wanted to talk to you. People on our podcast are sometimes probably going to be thinking, does this guy only talk about Mighty Oaks and that kind of thing? Obviously, I have a big heart and passion for what you guys do. And with Veterans Day coming up, I wanted to have a couple special episodes. I just interviewed Jeremy Stalnecker or had him at a class. But in that class, we were talking a lot about the need for community and the fact that isolation is not good for anybody, but especially those who are struggling with post-traumatic stress or just wrestling in that arena. Isolation can oftentimes lead to death. And I love a quote from Johnny Erickson Tata who says, community breeds life, but isolation leads to death. And we know a lot of people are familiar with the suicide rate among veterans and active duty service members. We know that there's been an uptick in that since COVID lockdowns went into place. And so we just see the increased impact of isolation. So I wanted to talk to you about the importance and the need of community in the life of military members and veterans, and then how we can encourage that, how we can foster that. So can you just kind of express from your own experience as a Marine, as well as what you've learned working with Mighty Oaks, the importance of a faith community, not just community, but a faith community for those who are serving in the military?
Yeah. So, the whole time I was in my service, I did not have a faith community. I didn't, do church or anything like that. And I think back now, which is a dangerous thing sometimes, but I think back and I by way of my job, I ask myself, what kind of decisions would I have made differently back then had I had a faith community that I teach and preach to these guys? Like, you got to be in community. You need a church. You need to be. And we tell them when they're at the program, the four things that they need to be doing. We tell them they have to be in prayer. They have to be in the word. They have to be at church, and they have to be in accountability. Mm-hmm. And, all of those four things can happen at the church. Right. Obviously. And then some of those are also self-dependent upon you to do those things at home and have a good spiritually disciplined life. But I think about the aspect of having that community and having the men like I have right now who when I start to fall off or when they know I'm not doing good, they reach out to me. They talk to me. They push me to Christ. And I think about scripture passages like Hebrews 10:23-25. And I think about How do we hold fast to our, to our faith and how do we have this hope and why do we meet together? Right. And it's so that we can spur each other on and so that we can point each other to Christ. And so I think that if you're active duty or a veteran in general, that you have to have that community, because left to your own demise, in isolation, you're just going to be inside your head. Mm-hmm. And we can be our own best lawyers. We can get ourselves off for anything that we want to do, right? We can self-justify anything, and you need other people pointing you to Christ. You need people to help you. There's a reason why in the New Testament there's 59 one another's, and we're not supposed to do life by ourselves.
Yeah. No, that's good. And just in case anybody's listening is like, why is Curtis talking about faith community, not church? I'm using that term more broadly. Obviously, we believe in the body of Christ, and the church is where you're going to get that. But I also recognize and remember, too, from in the military, sometimes you're not, especially when you're deployed, especially really forward deployed, you're not going to have a stereotypical church community. So I just mean finding those brothers or sisters in the faith who can really spur one another on. That's why I'm using that terminology. When you look back to your time in the Marine Corps, and obviously you said you heard the gospel for the first time after your service, but were there believers when they were deployed that had a good network of accountability, brothers in Christ who would encourage them, spur them on to love and good deeds? What were the benefits they received, or was that just so foreign that you didn't even see it?
No, while I was on active duty, I definitely saw it. And I think that, and again, you know, I don't know the intentions of people's hearts and stuff, but mm-hmm. I do remember seeing Marines go to church services that were offered while we were overseas and deployed, while we were on the bases that had those services. And sometimes we would be so far forward or out on mission or whatever, where guys couldn't get to that. But I remember seeing a few guys, you know, get their Bibles out on at some point during a break or whatever, and just try to read some scripture or pray or whatever else. And I think that those guys, looking back now, I understand why maybe they had a different perspective than some of us did. And so I remember distinctly four individuals from my time in that I would say, oh yeah, those guys, no doubt in my mind, they were Christians, the way they walked, the way they talked, the way that they engaged with us, the other men in the unit, and then just the way that they carried themselves definitely was a reflection of Christ. And I'm grateful for those four guys. And I think that they brought a lot of value to that. And they were team players. They were guys that were motivating other Marines when they were down in the dumps, or, you know, when we got assigned something that we didn't want to do. And they had a way of just being really encouraging. And so I think that was the thing that when I heard the gospel and I started going to church myself, I noticed that, yeah, this, okay, Christian life can be encouraging. Christian life is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and we try to tell that to guys, don't go home and think because you're a Christian now, because you found a great church, that your life is going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies, because that doesn't exist, right? There is no such thing. And it's just when you have a community, when you have your faith, and when you have other people pointing you to the hope of our faith, then your life is easier to navigate, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it gives you a direction. It gives you a guideline. I mean, like you guys talk about at Mighty Oaks all the time, what you're doing is actually just helping people align their lives to the God-ordained, creator-given reason for their existence and the way in which he planned for us to live. So yeah, that's really helpful. What are some of the obstacles in the military community to active duty members or veterans building or getting into a community of faith?
Yeah. So I think for active duty guys, just looking back, like if you would have told me like, hey, go give God 2 hours of your Sunday, I would have been like, well, man, I got to get a haircut. I got to get my uniform ready. I got to drink a lot of water. I got to do all this prep for work. And plus I have to do this, that, and the other thing. And so I think that the busyness of life while you're on active duty can definitely be an obstacle if you don't manage your time correctly. And I also think that, you know, it's no secret, military life isn't conducive to Christian life, right? It's polar opposite at times. And so it's very easy to be allured by things that are different from your faith that you may not have experienced prior to coming into the military. And so you want to go experience these things, and the temptations lead you into, you know, doing things with your buddies or, you know, whatever, and not going to church and not seeking help when you need help from people who are like-minded and have the same faith. And then for veterans, I think the obstacles are kind of twofold. So you get out, you go back home to small town USA, and you start thinking, well, how am I going to go to church and these people are going to be able to help me? They don't know what it's like where I've been or what I've done. And even if you haven't been to combat, they don't know what military life's all about. They're not going to be able to speak into my life. My problems are unique to me. And so no one can understand them. And I think that another obstacle too is just, when you get out of the military, even the best laid plans sometimes go awry. And then I think that having a lack of purpose and feeling that your identity is now gone because you got out, or you had to leave because you were injured, or whatever the case was for your exit of the military. And it's hard to want to do anything productive when you don't have a purpose and you feel like there is no purpose, or that you've lived the best years of your life at the age of 22 when you served 4 years in the military, and now it's over and you don't know what you're going to do with yourself.
Yeah, no, that's a interesting point there. I've talked to, you mentioned John Fulberg earlier. I asked him one time if he ever went to like VFW posts or, you know, American Legion, any of that stuff. And he's like, no, because all those guys do is sit around and talk about their good old days, or they share war stories. And he's like, I don't want to think that the best of my life is behind me. I want to keep my eyes forward and keep pressing forward with what God has for me now and moving. And I thought that was a really good, really interesting, good perspective to have. What are some things that, so if you were to go back, or if you're talking to somebody who's going to enlist, how would you encourage them? What would you tell them to encourage them to actively pursue people in the church and making sure they build a strong community of believers around them in their service?
Yeah, I would encourage them, you know, and tell them that, you know, one, if you're like, if I was to talk to a guy right now who was a believer and they were getting ready to enter into the military, I wouldn't spend any time talking to him about, hey, you know, this is how you can prep for the physical fitness exam. This is how you can prep for drill or anything like that, because those things are going to get beat into you at boot camp. You don't have a choice but to learn that kind of stuff. And so, plus, I don't want to ruin the surprise of how, you know, cruddy their life is about to become. I want it to be like a real shock and awe kind of thing, you know? But I would encourage them, like, hey, when you're at boot camp, get in the habit of going to church when they let you go to church on Sundays, because they give you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Don't forego it to sit and do nothing because you're tired. Press on. I would also encourage them that when they got to the fleet, you know, or when they checked into their first duty station, that, hey, you need to stay engaged in your faith. And right now, you know, being the aftercare manager, I have resources and other things that I would offer them by way of, hey, this is a military church. This is a church that has a big military population. So they will be able to help serve you and to encourage you. And this church has life groups that are veteran and military based and things like that. So that way these guys can stay plugged in, because what'll happen if you don't, you'll end up isolated. You'll end up by yourself. You'll end up drifting away from your belief, and you'll catch yourself in a situation where all these things will transpire in your life, and you'll look back and you'll say, how did I get here? Mm. And when you say that, the first thing you're going to think of is scripture that you heard as a kid and growing up from your parents over and over and over again. And you're going to see all the exits that God provided you that you just kept driving by. Hmm. And now you're in this dilemma, this mass pileup that, you know, like that I often refer to. You're going to want to know, how could I have avoided this? Where was God in all this? But he was there and he was showing you, and you weren't paying attention because you didn't have anybody speaking into your life. You didn't have a community. You weren't being taught biblically accurate messages from the pulpit. You were, you know, hanging out with your friends at the beach on Sunday, getting a tan, and you know, and now fill in the blank is your dilemma, and you're wanting to come to Mighty Oaks or whatever else.
No, that's a good word. One of my buddies was he's a former Army tank commander, and he was a strong believer going into the military. And when he was deployed overseas, he intentionally sought out, I think they had two or three guys that were believers, and he would just, whenever they were on leave, whenever there was downtime, they just made sure they were together, because of all the, I mean, honestly, a lot of it is just temptation avoidance, right? Because there's plenty of temptation. You know, you get a weekend pass, everybody's headed to Thailand and they're getting in all kinds of crazy trouble or whatever. And he just, yeah, really sought out that brotherhood of close believers and helped avoid those dilemmas that you're talking about there. Shifting a little bit to the church. So I think those are good reminders, things to latch a hold of. I really appreciate too the importance of equipping guys, helping guys to think about their spiritual health more than just their physical health and all that training, because sometimes that is where we get fixated when we think about going into the military. But the spiritual side of life and the spiritual strength, resiliency, health, whatever, however you want to describe it, is so much more important than that physical readiness. Shifting to the church, though, how can we as believers in the church, especially in churches that are, you know, a lot of the people are civilians, they haven't necessarily served in the military, or they don't know what that's all about. How can they reach out to the military community invite them in and help create a community, an environment that those men and women want to join, be a part of, know that they're loved, and yeah, join into that community.
Yeah. So kind of twofold on this. I think, first of all, like one of the obstacles of veterans getting into a church and getting into a community, especially the combat guys, is no one's going to understand. They're going to think I'm a horrible person for the things I've seen or done, or they're not going to understand my pain and my struggle. And so that stops people from wanting to go and be a part of a church. And so I think that the way the church can help with that, and don't hear me say that I want churches to serve veterans in some different special way, because, hey, we're veterans and we serve, but we aren't special when it comes to being a member of a church. Mm-hmm. Members of a church are members of a church. It doesn't matter if you were in combat. It doesn't matter if you were not in combat. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran, a first responder, a nurse, a burger flipper, a grocery bagger, any of those kind of things. Church membership is church membership. And mm-hmm. I think the way that the local church can really help with helping veterans is, one, be aware. Hey, do I have veterans in my church that may be struggling from some of these things that I'm not aware of? And I would say that if a pastor has sat down with, a family who has lost a child, or a woman who has been through a tough situation, or a child who has been abused, or any of these other traumatic things, car accidents, loss of life in a quick flash in a hurry, walked a family through a loved one succumbing to a terminal illness, that he is equipped to counsel and to walk life out with a combat veteran. It's going to look and sound different because it is, but he is equipped. And I think that, and too often in some churches I've heard, man, this guy's got PTS and we just don't know how to handle that. Well, if you have a Bible in your hand, you can handle that. And I don't say that to be, rude or hurtful, but I say that because if we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, then it's sufficient, bottom line. And so therefore you can counsel those guys. And I think that being aware of either veterans and or active duty people in your church gives you a head start, and so that you can engage with them and just talk to them and make them feel welcome. Because oftentimes, you go to a church and you're the new person, you don't even want to be seen, especially if you're struggling and you want to isolate. And so you just hide in the back, get the service and run away. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we encourage guys to go to smaller churches, because you can't do that in a small church. When you go to a church with only 50 to 100 people in it, people notice you and they want to talk to you, especially if you're the new guy. And, what we want guys to see is when they go to the church that there is people out there that are going to love them and support them, because, and not because they have to, but because they want to, and because they want to be Christ-like to these men. And so pastors doing that would be that they would get a head start on that game and helping those veterans and the active duty members. And another one would be a lot of times the wives of these service members, when they deploy, they will pack up and go home to their home of record mm-hmm. and wait for their husband mm-hmm. to come home so that they have family support. And maybe their families aren't churchgoers, but the mom and the children start going to church. If I was a pastor, I would want to know that too. Like, okay, how can we serve you? How can we help you? What could make your life easier while your husband's gone in a tough environment? How can we be praying for your husband? And making sure, can we send your husband, I know a church here used to send little thumb drives with the sermons on it out mm-hmm. there to the guys so they could just plug it into a computer or something and download it and listen to it and still get the word preached to them if they weren't able to go to church out there, and just those kind of things, and just outreach and really helping bridge the gap of feeling like they're all alone and that no one's going to understand you're a veteran. Okay, that's awesome. But we can understand you because we understand Christians. We understand life. We understand the problems of life because we have the Word of God to help us through that.
No, that's a good, yeah, that's a really good encouragement. The main thing is just being aware of the people in your church, what their needs are, what their background is, that kind of thing. And I think, like you said, ministering to the family is going to speak volumes to the service members who are deployed, because they, Yeah, that's always on the back of their mind, is like, how's everybody back home kind of thing. And if they know they're in good hands, that's a good word. And I think it's also an encouragement to all the pastors. Like you said, when they pack up and they go home to their home of record, sometimes churches will think, well, we're not near a military base, so we probably don't have that many military members or whatever. But man, if you see a mom and some kids show up without dad around, that obviously not all of them are deployed military members, but that's a good thing to keep on the back of the mind there. So Robert, one of the things that the church can do as part of the building the community and reaching out to the military community, sometimes we might have our caps on and thinking, how can I serve them? And especially as biblical counselors, we are probably constantly thinking about how do we minister to their needs. But one of the big ways I think the church can minister to veterans as well as draw them into community is get them busy in service of the church. And they actually have quite a bit to offer. What would you speak to that issue a little bit, and how would you encourage churches to incorporate veterans and active duty members into service and getting them involved in the work of the church?
Yeah, so I would encourage, you know, the churches and let them know, like, especially for the veteran community, once they're out of the military and they might just be going to college, trying to get education for further employment, or they might be disabled and they aren't able to work right now. If they were to have a purpose at church on top of being fed spiritually and in a Christian community, and they had a purpose at church where they were helping and making a difference in other people's lives, even if it was just setting up the chairs for service, greeting somebody at the door, making the coffee, putting out the donuts, whatever the case may be, it gives them buy-in. It puts, and I know that the buy-in is our relationship with Christ, and I'm not trying to place emphasis on working for, you know, the benefit of putting them to work just to keep them at church. I'm saying that there's skin in the game now. Mm. Now they see community in action, because not only are they being loved on and encouraged and built up, but now they're a part of the process of building up and loving and encouraging other people. And it goes full circle, and they become engulfed in this community, which is what we all try to do. And some churches have a lot of people, and so there might not be those kind of things to do, but I would also encourage them then, hey, let's go have coffee. Let's go sit down. Let's do Bible study together. I think another important thing that veterans, you know, need to hear, and by way of keeping them connected to the church and having service and all that stuff, is I encourage veterans to go and find them a Titus 2 man who's not a veteran. That way they understand that these problems of life aren't just for veterans. We don't have a monopoly on tragedy. We like to teach them that at Mighty Oaks. We don't. And we think we do, because we think we've been through these unique things, and that no one's going to understand. But there's a man in that church who's been through his own trauma, and he can show a veteran how to walk it out, even though he wasn't a veteran. Yeah. And that is service too, because then that veteran is now equipped. We have a guy at our program. His name is Neil, and he tells his story where he walked into the church, knocked on the door, and said, "Hey, what can you tell me that the Bible says about PTS?" And the pastor didn't really know, and so he walked out, and there was another guy in the hallway, and he walked to him and said, "Hey, let's go have coffee." And he just started walking Neil through this process and discipling him. And now, even though Neil was a veteran, now he's helping other veterans, but Neil's also an associate pastor at a church, and he's helping other people who aren't veterans. And that's because somebody did it for him and showed him how.
Yeah.
And so again, you're giving purpose to this person to be an active member of this church and grow and build up and equip and encourage the body.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, I mean, that's why the Apostle Paul uses the language of being a body, and every member is valuable. Every member is important. He even talks about the undesired, you know, the unspeakable, unseeable parts serve a really important purpose, as well as the ones that we see. And that process of renewing somebody's purpose, because like you know personally, and you know with a lot of guys that get out, especially if they're discharged when they didn't want to be, they feel like their identity and their purpose was stolen and we point them obviously to their identity in Christ, but then their purpose is to glorify him through service. And that just makes them active members of the body of Christ. And it isn't a veteran civilian type of thing. It's just a Christian thing. So no, that's really good. That's really helpful. Well, Robert, we're almost out of time. I know there's plenty more we could talk about, but I really appreciate you sharing and you being here and the work that you are continuing to do, not only in Mighty Oaks, but in your local church and wherever the Lord takes you. The last 2 minutes of every episode, I try to reserve for a segment called 2 Minute Favorites. Are you ready for this?
I hope so.
It's,
I'm just going to say pass.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. Hopefully you know these because they are, you know, it's your favorite stuff. So I'll start with some simple ones. What is your favorite food?
Oh, spaghetti, hands down.
All right. Favorite color?
Red.
Favorite candy?
Peanut butter Twix.
Favorite gift you've ever received?
When me and my wife first started dating, she bought me a Greek Hebrew keyword Bible that I had my eyes on, and so that was really meaningful to me. Yeah.
Very cool. Favorite gift you've ever given?
I am a self-proclaimed master of gift giving, so I've got some good ones. the best gift I've ever given is when me and my wife got married, two and a half years ago, we started a tradition on Christmas that we would pick a passage of scripture for the year and that we would open one gift on Christmas Eve, but it had to be faith related. And so last year I got all my kids a necklace with a little, like an anchor on it or a cross or a this or that. And we talked about that and we read our passage of scripture and we applied it to, you know, just being able to remember Christ through this little trinket on a necklace and talking about those things. And I think that was a really big impact on my kids and me too, as a father, being able to see God's grace come full circle. Whereas I didn't have a relationship with my kids and now I'm able to lead them in something like that, even as small as it was.
Yeah, that is really cool. Favorite book of the Bible?
Oh, James, hands down.
Favorite book outside of scripture?
Oh man, so many good ones. Trust in God, Jerry Bridges. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, Paul David Tripp. I could go on for days. That's all I do is read. I'm a book nerd, so yeah.
Well, very cool. That wraps up our time with the 2 Minute Favorites and our time together. And Robert, it was a real pleasure and a joy to have you on the show today.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you can visit our website at biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. You can also contact us at podcast@biblicalcc.org. Special thanks to Carrie Felton, our podcast producer, who arranges and coordinates these interviews, and James Wills, our podcast engineer, who does the sound editing and makes these episodes sound so great. I thank you for being with us again and hope you can join us next time on 1514.